Welcome to Ask and It Is Given. For almost 20 years, Esther and Jerry Hicks have brought forward the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham to audiences worldwide. These energies speak through Esther as they answer questions and offer teachings from their non-physical perspective. In the next hour, you'll hear Esther Hicks and Abraham explain many powerful laws of the universe and answer questions from audience members. Today's show was recorded in San Antonio, Texas in 2001.
The asking is step one. The receiving is step three. Now, there's a whole step in there. In other words, feel the separation between step one and step three. And the reason that we are amplifying this even to what may feel ridiculous to you is that when you are in the asking mode, you are usually standing amidst some contrast that is causing you to ask. And the contrast that is within you is causing a swirling of energy that means you're not usually in the receiving mode while you're asking. If there's not enough money and you're worried about there not being enough money, it is usually when there's not enough money that you are asking for more money. But when you're asking for money from this feeling place of there not being enough money, you're not in the receiving place of letting money in because you are more about not enough money than you are about enough money. Usually when you are doing the most clear asking for a physical well-being is when you are sick. But when you are sick, you are so aware that you are sick, and even though you're asking for well-being from that place of sickness, you are usually not in a place of letting wellness in from your place of sickness. You're going to be asking all the time, and often you will be asking from a place of exaggerated contrast, and that's fine. Don't worry about it. Just ask. Shout your prayers or make your statements of desire. Do them as they naturally arise. Sometimes you're even swearing while you're asking. But then let the majority of your work be to get into the receiving mode. If you are not vibrationally adjusted to the vibrational signal of your own desire, you can't let it in. So this gathering is about the art of allowing, or the art of receiving, or the art of letting it in. And you can tell when you're letting it in and when you're not, because the better you feel, the more you are practicing the art of allowing. The worse you feel, the less you are practicing the art of allowing. Your emotions let you know in every moment what you are doing relative to the receiving of the well-being that is so natural to you. And when you begin to consciously recognize that even though this negative emotion that you are feeling may be justified, in other words, the circumstances that surround you absolutely justify this negative way that you feel. Even though you are justified, you are still not in the receiving mode. So, we are eager to talk with you about anything that is important to you. You are ready to begin? Begin right here, then here, your second, third.
Yes, good morning.
Yes.
The way I understand it, you're kind of saying our emotions are our friends because they're a big indicator of how we feel. And I just kind of wondered how intuition is different from our emotions.
Well, your emotions are an indicator of your vibration. Intuition is a conscious reading of vibration also. What you're thinking and feeling and what is manifesting is always a vibrational match. Your thought is what attracts. The way you feel about it is your indicator of what you are attracting. And what manifests always matches that. So when you feel some strong intuition about something, what that is a realization of that which is in the process of becoming.
Very good. I understand it completely now.
Yes. What I think and what I feel and what manifests always matches. What you are dreaming in your dream state is a manifestation too. So you can see how that sort of ties in with the idea of intuition. It's like an advanced announcement of what is probable if the vibration that I'm offering continues on the same track that it has been. Of course, nothing has to be. There is nothing that cannot be altered by a deliberate changing of vibration.
If I understood you correctly, I think you said that there was more well-being in the world than not well-being.
Oh, so much more. So much more that the not well-being is not worth talking about.
Well, I have a question kind of related to that. Then if this is a balanced world, then I'm not sure how that ties in with abundance of well-being as opposed to not abundance of well-being.
But when you're thinking of balance, in every particle of the universe is that which is wanted and lack of it. And that's the balance. In other words, you have the opportunity to focus upon abundance or focus upon the absence of it, focus upon wellness or focus upon the absence of it. But the only stream that flows is one of well-being. In other words, you don't walk into a room and look for a dark switch. In the same way, there's not a source of evil. There is a switch you might flip that would resist the well-being, but that's the orientation we're wanting you to receive. And the balance of the universe is also speaking of the variety of choices.
Thank you. The comment you made previously that we rise to the expectations around us. And I know that's been a life issue as far as figuring out what I want as opposed to what other people want. I know it started with my parents and their expectations, and then finding my way through that through survival one thing or another. And you've helped me a lot into the receiving mode with work and with different ideas. But I know that there are a lot of beliefs stuck in there. And my solution in the past was I had certain beliefs, but I didn't think I could achieve them. So I diminished my desire in order to not have the conflict between the belief and the desires. Now as I'm putting that all back in right stead, I'm trying to undo beliefs. And I know I have certain beliefs about aging. So as I'm getting 57 age now, that my eyesight's starting to diminish from 20/20 to, you know, I can't see them here and a little bit further out. And other kind of beliefs that are sort of like time bombs almost that I've held for a long time. And I know as I get older, these things are manifesting. Like I'd like to lose 50 or 60 pounds. But I put that as a desire, maybe almost the mantra saying, I want to be happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. And then focus on that with affirmations and gratitude and different things like that. But it doesn't seem to lose the weight. And then in the gradual day-to-day experiences, I know I have a belief, well, if I exercise an hour in the morning and an hour at night, that would take care of it and I'd lose weight. But as day goes by, I don't do those kind of things. So I'm trying to find ways to bring in more receiving with the gratitude and the focus. I know it worked really well when I went into a store and I wanted to buy a part. And I saw that now they carried a different brand line because they were going to make a little more money with it. But I could see I could go into blame and martyr about, oh, they're taking advantage of people and not giving the right part. But I decided to choose, no, into gratitude. These Home Depots are all over the place. If I need something, I can find something in 15 minutes. And just in that transition of thought choice, I had a great idea that was an answer about something totally unrelated. I said, this stuff really works, so I've had a lot of fun with it. But I want to shift some of those deep-seated beliefs so that I don't have a culminating event with my body. I'd like to take care of that now and lose the weight and be in a more healthy kind of position with what I want.
Well, you know, as you were offering the mantra of, I want to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, very good mantra, but you also unwittingly were offering some other mantras like, I'm stuck. In other words, anything that you continue to repeat, whether it is something about what you want or something about what you don't want, serves the same purpose, you see. We wanted to say to you in response to your word stuck, I've got some beliefs that are stuck in there. They're not stuck in there. Most of them are dormant unless you activate them. And we think it is helpful to recognize that beliefs that hinder are not problematic unless they are activated. And when they are activated, you are alerted to the fact that they are activated by negative emotion. Rather than walking around worried that there are all kinds of hindering beliefs that are lurking, ready to zap you in some way, instead say, they're not an issue unless they're activated, and when they are activated, I'm feeling myself doing that thing I do, in which case I can choose a thought that feels better, and then just little by little by little, you bring yourself more and more into the receiving mode. So doing things like you did where you felt yourself feeling a little initial blame, you caught yourself doing that thing you do. And you chose, because you caught in the early stages before it swept you away into a whole bunch of activation of a whole bunch of other belief, you caught yourself doing it and you chose to feel appreciation for the facilities being all over the nation, all over the place, so easy for you to have access to. And you brought yourself into balance. And you answered your question more beautifully with your own offering than we could offer with anything else. So just do that about more things and before you know it, you'll be more in alignment with your own well-being and the desires that you've been setting forth than not.
Well, like with eye focus, I didn't know whether to focus on where it is in focus and say, I really appreciate being able to see well and enjoy
yes.
that. Whether that was also having the negative message to it, or that's the A
well,
and
you
the
can
B.
tell by the way you feel yeah. about it, or you could feel appreciation for glasses that bring it into perspective. In other words, it's exactly the same thing, though, isn't it? You could feel blame, or you could feel appreciation. When you tell it like it is, and like it is doesn't please you, then you hold yourself in a vibration where it cannot change. So when you say, the fact of it is that I'm not seeing as well, and I'm going to bolster that fact by acknowledging my age, and then I'm going to bolster these negative facts by comparing them with a lot of other people who have had a similar experience, and then I'm going to stand in a place of deficiency or vulnerability about all of that. We say, fact or not, truth or not, how is it serving you? You can tell by the way you feel. And you say, well, it feels lousy. And we say, the fact that it feels lousy is a much bigger issue than the fact that you can't see as clearly as you'd like to. I'm using this inability to see as clearly as I would like to as my current or temporary excuse to not allow the well-being to flow. So not only am I not likely to begin to focus more clearly, but I can't make my way easily to a mechanism that could afford it. Sometimes if you're feeling appreciation for what is working, and or for what you can see, in that appreciation, through the crack of least resistance, an apparatus comes to you, or an ability to focus, or a procedure. In other words, things unfold to make it very nice. But in your discomfort about it, then you make an appointment, and the appointment falls through, and when you get there, the guy's had a bad day, and he doesn't do a good job, and he fits you with lenses that don't work, and you're blinded by them, and there's this big space where you cannot see, and the contraption is a disaster, and you really don't like it. Where if you are appreciating, in your optimism, the best of things unfold for you, and in your pessimism, the worst of things unfolds for you, whatever is unfolding is a match to the way you feel. So physical friends argue with us quite a bit about this. They'll say, Abraham, the fact of the matter is my body is diminishing. Even though it's true, talking about it causes a vibration that perpetuates this thing that you do not want. And then they say, well, if I didn't perpetuate this thing I do not want, wouldn't my body still decline? Isn't that the way it always works? And we say, no, it isn't the way it always works. And then they say, well, isn't it the way it usually works? And we say, it works that way with many as they keep activating beliefs that have come before, but it does not need to. So what your question is about, how can I choose among the beliefs that surround me, those that serve me? And we say, be aware when you do that thing you do that keeps it from serving you, you always feel negative emotion. Very often people will say, well, this thought is true. And we say, we don't want to discuss whether it's true anymore. We want to discuss how it feels when you chew on it. If that could be your criteria, your only criteria, how does this thought feel when I verbalize it? How does this thought feel when I stay focused on it? How does this thought feel when it gets bigger? And law of attraction really helps you, because sometimes an initial thought, you don't feel much. But as you stay with it longer and it vibrates stronger, then you begin to feel it. So the key is, at the point that you begin to feel any negative emotion, stop and laugh and say, ah, glory be, my guidance system is alerting me to the fact that I've chosen something to focus upon, true or not, irrelevant, that is not allowing me to be a match to what I really want. These are not the first time you're thinking these thoughts. You've thought these thoughts quite a few times. And in all that process of thinking those thoughts, you've told the universe what you want. You've told the universe again and again and again. The universe knows what you want. That's not in question. You don't have to keep saying, I hope you haven't forgotten that I would like to see clearly, or I hope you haven't forgotten that I want to thrive in my physicalness. The universe knows that. You don't have to talk about it anymore. All you have to do is feel as good as you can feel, as much as you can feel, about as many subjects as you can feel them about. And do you know, you don't even ever have to think about your body again. You could find some subject that's easy to feel good about, focus on that really, really a lot, And in focusing on the thing that is easy to feel good about, you'd be in the state of allowing, so that all of the things on all of the subjects that you've been asking about could easily flow into your experience. That's why when someone finds a new and wonderful occupation, or when someone finds a new and wonderful relationship, often everything in their life begins to line up. Not because they went to the gym, not because they exercised twice a day, but because in their exhilaration and in their new focus that takes more of their attention, they are allowing more than they are not allowing, so the things that they've been asking for begin to line up for them. You're discovering that it isn't about action. It's about inspiration, and sometimes that inspiration becomes inspired action. But when you make yourself do something in order to get rid of something that you don't want, your emphasis and your vibration is more about what you're wanting to get rid of, so you're actually holding yourself in this place you do not want to be. The big question, how do I get from my awareness of what I don't want to a place that I'm letting what I do want in? How can I be aware that I'm sick, or aware that my husband is sick, or aware that I weigh 60 pounds more than I want to, or aware that I can't see as clearly as I want to? How can I be aware of the truthful facts of my now reality and change them? And we say, by being less aware of the truthful facts of your reality and more aware of the possibilities, more aware of the probabilities. And you say, well, I'm compelled to tell it like it is. And we say, one factor has to click into place before the compulsion will be to think about where you're going rather than to think about where you are. One factor, you have to want to feel good. You have to want to feel good more than you want to tell the truth. That's what has to shift within you. It has to be more important that you feel good. So if you were to talk to your inner being and you were to say, or if anyone were, if we were to say, inner being of this dear friend, how do you behold him? Your inner being would say, he is a delight to our gaze. And we would say, as a physical prodder, don't you think he weighs too much? And your inner being would say, in our eyes, he is perfect in all ways. Your inner being does not see the flaw that you choose to see. Well, inner being of this dear friend, we do not think you are being truthful, because we can behold him. We see him having trouble seeing. We see him weighing more than he wants to weigh. We see him aware of his deficiencies. What do you have to say about all of that? Are these not truthful facts that we are stating? And your inner being would say, everything is in the eye of the beholder. As you choose to see them, your world becomes that which you have chosen to see. But what about the truth of things? What about reality? This is how it is. My husband is sick in the hospital, or there is not enough money, or my lover has left me, or my body is not the way I want it to be. How can you deny these truths? And Source Energy says to you, there are not such truths. Everything is in the eye of the beholder. And you say, well, there's plenty of physical evidence that supports these truths that I know are the way that it is. And we say, it is only because you have focused that way that it is that way. Try focusing another way and watch how fast it becomes. The key is you have to want to feel good more than anything else. So in the same way that you might choose a movie that is uplifting, do you ever choose your movies because you want to be uplifted? Do you say, oh, let's just flip a coin and whatever happens, happens. Do you go to a restaurant where you believe you will be pleased, or do you say, oh, I'll just take my chances. I hate Chinese food, but I'm going to a Chinese restaurant. Maybe they'll surprise me today. You are deliberate about many things. You must be selfish in your desire to feel good. So selfish that you just don't want to go there. Have you ever had a friend, or have you ever had a past subject that was painful or uncomfortable, and you just don't go there? You just don't go there. You've been there. It didn't feel good. You don't want to go there. And nobody can talk you into going there. And we would like you to reach the place where nobody can talk you into ever going anywhere in thought that does not really feel good to you. That you're just so stubbornly aligned to feeling good, that you're just, no subject is big enough or real enough or truthful enough or factual enough or important enough that you're willing to go there if it doesn't feel good. That's what the art of allowing is. Many of our physical friends would say, well, Abraham, that doesn't seem very reasonable. And we say, and yet that's the way your inner being is. That's the way your source is. That's why the stream is abundant with well-being, you see. So your question is, how do I go about it? You have to make a decision first that you want to feel good. Do you think you've made that decision? Then pretend like we haven't had any of this conversation, although you cannot help but be in the new place that you are as a result of it. And now let's go through your list again and see if it sounds any differently. Welcome to the chair. What did you come to talk with us about? We see you have a list in your hands. What is your first topic?
Feeling overweight, a belief that I can't lose the weight and I want.
But we want to talk about it from the new perspective that you've achieved.
Realizing that my weight is a temporary situation with my focus and the positive appreciation, gratitude of all the things that go well in my body.
Pretty good. What do you think your inner being thinks about your physical body?
That it's a reflection of my experience.
As your inner being beholds your body, what do you think your inner being notices?
Gratitude of me being here, being who I am, having achieved what focuses and growth.
Opportunity to see through your eyes, opportunity to hear through your ears, recognizing your resilience, recognizing your stamina, recognizing the majority of functions within your body functioning perfectly, recognizing that you are a perfect human specimen with source energy flowing through it, seeing so much well-being within this body, adoring this physical body, loving this physical body so profusely that anything that you feel about anything temporarily out of whack is shadowed by the huge recognition of perfection that this physical body is. You cannot appreciate and blame at the same time. You can't appreciate and feel guilty at the same time. You can't appreciate an aspect of your body and fear another aspect of your body at the same time. So the choice is appreciation feels good. Factual reality may not feel as good. Which one do I choose? Do I choose the fact of reality? There's a lot of facts of your reality that are very, very positive. In other words, if you want to look for factual things, there's lots of factual things that feel good, and there are some factual things that don't feel so good. The question isn't what's the truth of it. The question is what feels best. So what do you think that you would like to talk about relative to your physical body?
That I love who I am and who I'm becoming, both physically and mentally and spiritually.
Isn't this nice how the body works? Do you realize the function of your physical body? It's just amazing the knowledge that this physical body holds and the intelligence within the cells and the way you move about. But we think that many of you disassociate the perfection of that which you are in terms of your physical body and the way your body is being in any moment. In other words, we can sort of feel you feeling responsibility for the deterioration of your body, but taking no responsibility for the perfection of your body. Sort of like, well, God made me perfect and I've messed it up. And we're wanting you to realize that if God made you perfect, then God messed it up. Didn't happen that way. And if you made it perfect, then you messed it up. Not productive either. Why not just acknowledge the perfection of your physical body? In other words, you're not declining. You just got a little resistance going on. Physical beings don't decline. It's not the natural thing to decline. It is the natural thing to move through time, but it is resistance that causes you to decline. You can take a perfectly healthy, in the prime of their life person, they're at the peak, as far as you've ever known them, of their physical experience. And you could convey information to them and hold their attention within your information, and right before your eyes, they would begin to diminish in terms of their ability to function. They would get fuzzy-headed. They would lose their ability to focus. Their hormones within their body would begin to fluctuate. The chemical balance would get out of whack. They might even double over with pain in their stomach. Your physical body in every moment is this vivid reflection of the balance of vibration within you. It's all about the way you feel.
Stay with us for more of Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture brought through Esther Hicks from the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham. To learn more about Esther Hicks and Abraham, visit HayHouse.com.
Here's a HayHouseRadio.com inspirational moment taken from Susan Jeffers' CD set, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, available at HayHouse.com.
Too many of us seem to be searching for something out there to make our lives complete. We feel alienated, lonely, and empty. No matter what we do or have, we never feel fulfilled. This feeling of emptiness or intense loneliness is our clue that we are off course and that we need to correct our direction. Often we think that the correction lies in a new mate, house, car, job, or whatever. Not so. I believe that what all of us are really searching for is this divine essence within ourselves. When we are far from our higher self, we feel what Roberto Assagioli has so aptly called divine homesickness.
Meet Wayne Dyer, Doreen Virtue, Esther and Jerry Hicks, Dr. Mehmet Oz, and more than 30 best-selling authors during a weekend of spiritual and body enlightenment from October 11th through the 14th in Tampa. Hay House is hosting this empowering I Can Do It conference packed with moving keynote lectures, inspiring workshops, autograph sessions, exhibitors, and much more. Come for a day or spend the weekend. Tickets as low as $75. Visit ICanDoIt.net to reserve your space today.
Your favorite psychics, mediums, and intuitives are hosting a cruise to the Eastern Caribbean, and they want you to come along. Spend 7 nights on the Intuitive Connections cruise this November, where you'll meet psychic Sony Choquette, medium Gordon Smith, intuitive Colette Baron-Reed, and psychic medium John Holland. Hear messages from your deceased loved ones, contact your celestial helpers, and get readings about your future. Space is limited. Call 888-259-9191 or visit hayhouse.com.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, that's an absolute pleasure, Treasure. Now, you tell Leon all about your dream.
What do your dreams really mean? Find out with Leon Naxon and Interpreting Dreams. Mondays, 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern on HayHouseRadio.com.
I call these an inner child dream. That very, very creative child that you saw is yourself.
Come to Tampa and meet more than 30 of your favorite Hay House authors in person. Get inspired by Wayne Dyer. Discover the message of Abraham from Esther and Jerry Hicks. Learn what makes your body tick from Dr. Mehmet Oz and more at the I Can Do It Conference October 11th through the 14th in Tampa. Come for a day or spend the weekend. Tickets as low as $75. Visit ICanDoIt.net to reserve your space today.
If you own an iPod or MP3 player, you can take HayHouseRadio.com shows with you anywhere. Just go to Listen Again Archives on HayHouseRadio.com and click on the orange podcast button. Select the shows you want to receive, and then each week the latest week's show will automatically download into your player or onto your computer. You can play our shows in the car, at the gym, or anywhere you take your player. Sign up now at HayHouseRadio.com.
We now return to Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture from Esther Hicks as she channels a group of evolved beings collectively known as Abraham.
What about someone that abuses their wife or their husband, either way, or
extreme disconnection, isn't it?
Or is practicing infidelity.
Yes.
And this person continually reaches for the thought that feels better, but it doesn't change. How long do they continue reaching before finally they say, okay, that's enough of that, and they just move on?
First, we would say that anyone who is abusing or is abusive is dramatically disconnected. And your participation in their abuse, in other words, as you take it, as you feel pain from it, as you cower to it, all of that is just part of the same vibration. And it's a natural thing that when you are abused, that you feel abused. In other words, it would be difficult not to. But if you had the power to really love beyond the abuse, and if you found more vibrational harmony with the love than with the abuse, it would turn around in your experience. The reason it usually doesn't is because you felt victimized and you felt abused before you even came into the relationship with that person. It's part of the basis of the relationship. Very often, a young girl who feels inadequate, she's sort of been trained that way, and feels insufficient, she's sort of been trained that way, will gravitate into an abusive relationship. She might go to work where she is taught to appreciate herself, and it is possible for her vibration to change and for her to achieve harmony with well-being enough that she is able to shift what is taking place in the relationship. That does happen. Sometimes the question is put to us, much as you put it here, where someone will say, well, shouldn't I just go someplace else? Shouldn't I get out of this abusive relationship? And we say, by all means, we don't think anyone should stay in a place where they are being abused. But at the same time, if she goes someplace else, there's a very strong probability that she will justify her movement by continuing to explain how awful that was. And in doing so, she keeps that vibration alive within her so that she continues to be abused everywhere she goes. When we come back from segment of refreshment, we will address the subject of how can I stand in the middle of a vibration that is so different from what I want and find a way to find another vibration that feels better and make it dominant against what seems like all odds against that. We want to talk about how you can control your vibration no matter what. Good time for a segment of refreshment. We are complete. We're talking about how to stand in the middle of something unwanted and find the feeling place of something else. It is not possible to focus upon one thing and feel another, because whatever you are focused upon is what is generating your vibration and therefore is what is affecting your feeling. So everything is about your choice of focus. Sometimes when Jerry and Esther will go to a new environment, a new city, when they are there at first, they do not enjoy the fragrances of the area. It's as if they have not acclimated. But then as they're taking the walk through the forest, at first they aren't smelling anything, they aren't seeing any little animals, it's just them walking through what looks like a beautiful place, but they are not in the place yet. Their bodies are there, but they are not vibrationally attuned to it. And then as they walk longer and they observe more and they relax into, they forget about how much they have to do, and they forget about where they have been, and they forget about where the car is parked, and they forget about the journey that they will take once they leave this place, and they focus on the walk. They focus on breathing deeply, and they focus upon their feet on the trail, and they focus in this place. Then they begin to smell the vegetation. Then they begin to smell the water, and then the little critters who live in the woods begin to show themselves to them. Then all manner of wildlife doesn't find them foreign either. It's about acclimating. It's about choosing the vibration and then deliberately acclimating. Do you ever find yourself tense for whatever reason? And then you put on some music that you adore, and at first, it doesn't change your mood or attitude much. But as you play it longer and focus more, or better still, if you join in, if you move to it or dance to it or sing to it, as you join it, then you begin to feel the rhythm of the music. You begin to feel the vibration of upliftment, you see. So what we're really talking about is whatever the vibration that you have going is a vibration you have going, and it has a point of attraction of its own. And while you can deliberately choose something else, when you first deliberately choose something else, it will not be the dominant vibration, not at first. The other usually will. So you have to make a deliberate intent that you're choosing something else, and you have to find your own ways to get into the rhythm of the new vibration. Usually just staying with it longer does it. Finding more ways to focus within the thought. If you really want to do it in a fast way, Meditation is the best way we know, because if you stop and deliberately quiet your mind, as you quiet your mind, there is no thought. And as there is no thought, there is no resistance. And as there is no resistance, then you can easily choose another thought and it becomes dominant. So quieting your mind can be a very lovely bridge into a better feeling thought. Appreciation is the best tool on the run. In other words, when you are moving, you can't usually, while you are driving in traffic, stop and meditate. We don't recommend it. But you could get on a rampage of appreciation and shift your vibration rather easily too. Now, let's talk about some specifics and we'll show you what we would do.
In the relationship?
What was on your mind?
Well, my husband has been unfaithful to me a couple of times. That's what I was referring to.
How does that thought feel?
It feels very bad.
Can he take it back?
No.
So you have a choice of choosing the way you feel. Now, we're just going to throw some things out to you.
Here's a key to that, that I think I need to add to that, is the last time I really started reaching for the thought that felt better and really let it go, and then it came up again. So I don't understand my part in that, why it came up again, because I was doing really well. I was feeling better.
Do you think you would be feeling better now if you did not know?
Yes, but I wouldn't prefer not to know.
This is a really important question here, because what you're saying to us is you would rather know the truth than
yes.
feel better. Mm-hmm. And almost everybody would agree with you. I'd rather know the truth and feel rotten than not know the truth and feel better. And this is the orientation that we're wanting to bring you around to. We're wanting you to want to feel better. In fact, we would like you to be able to know the truth and feel better too. In other words, we would like you to feel better. We're just going to throw some things out, sort of shake up the whole idea of sexuality in your time-space reality. We're just going to play the game of which thought feels better. Which thought feels better? My husband was unfaithful to me. Or my husband is unfaithful to me.
My husband was unfaithful to me.
Which thought feels better? My husband was unfaithful to me. Or my husband is a thriving sexual being at the height of his sexuality. Which thought feels better? My husband is a thriving sexual being at the height of his sexuality. Or the sexuality in my husband has withered and he has no interest in it whatsoever.
At the heart of
thriving sexual being. Which feels better? We are innately sexual beings whose desires are very powerful. Or we have the ability to limit ourselves in many ways. There's no right or wrong here, just which feels better to you.
We are innate sexual beings.
Because what we're getting at here is that as physical humans, you really do interesting things to one another. We've been talking about very pointedly here today how it is very common to say, this thought makes me feel good and this thought makes me feel bad. Therefore, the people who are important to me must do this so that I can feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're actually saying to others is, it is your responsibility to deny your natural instincts and to do what is biologically, don't get upset with us, unnatural, in order to perform a behavior that makes it easier for me to feel good. It's a tricky thing, isn't it? Because what we're doing, we're taking this issue, and we know it's a sensitive one,
mm-hmm.
and we're laying it right over this thing that you all keep doing to each other, which is to say, my happiness depends upon your behavior, and it's up to you to control yourself in these ways. Now, we know that the next thing that most would say to us, at least most women,
mm-hmm.
he made a promise to me that he did not keep. You would be ever so much kinder to one another if you would not make each other promise to behave in certain ways so that you can be joyful. Because it is not possible to behave in all ways that make others joyful. Now, we are not saying to you that what your husband did was right, but we would not say to him that what he did was wrong either. What we would say is, it was something that happened that you now have the opportunity to choose the way you feel about it, you see. Some would say, well, Abraham, there are big things and little things, and if my husband betrays me in this big way, isn't that more important than if he betrays me in some little way? And we say, we would never put anyone in a position where they could betray you, because by betraying you, that says you're asking them to live up to standards that are necessary before you can feel good. And you will discover the most extraordinary of relationships when you say to everyone that you love, be as you be, and I will choose to feel as I choose to feel. It is a rather usual thing when we compare the male side of, and female side of your species. Very often, the dominant thing that the female desires is security, which means she wants him to make promises that make her feel secure and keep them. The dominant thing that all of you feel, but it is especially powerful within the male, is he wants freedom. All of you want all of those things, but it is more exaggerated that the female wants security and the male wants freedom. So the more she wants security, the less free he feels. And the more free he feels, the more insecure she feels. So it's a sort of thing where it's a struggle that has been going on for a very, 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 very long time. And it's all about, I need you to be different so that I can feel good, and I need you to be different so that I can feel good. And what we would like you to do is to discover the joy in feeling good anyway. We're not saying necessarily that your husband deserves forgiveness by the standards of the promises that you've made to each other, but you certainly deserve to forgive him. Because not forgiving him holds you in resistance to well-being, you see. And we want so much for you to come to the place where you don't need him to perform or behave in a certain way for you to feel good. We want you to be able to look at his aspects and pick the ones that make your heart sing and leave the ones that don't make your heart sing aside. And it is our expectation that before you know it, it is possible for two of you to come together and to be enough for one another. In other words, we're not saying that everybody needs a whole lot of others in order to make their lives full. But we do know that the more you try to restrain someone, the more they feel restrained. And the more they feel restrained, the more they break out of the traces in ways that seem unreasonable, even to them. And we think that most in your husband's situation would say, if asked about it, it was not my plan to do that. In other words, that was a promise I planned to keep. It's irrational even to him that it happened in the way that it did. But it was a culmination that occurred from the dynamics of the vibration. Just like world events culminate, so do individual family events culminate. And everybody's part of the culmination. That would serve you very well, to take full responsibility for your part in your husband's infidelity. Oh, that feels really weird, doesn't it? But when you realize that you were part of the vibration and the experience was a culmination, then it was something we experienced, not something that you did to me. And when it's something that we experienced, then it's something that I can do something about vibrationally. And when it's something that I can do something about vibrationally, now I'm not feeling vulnerable and I'm not feeling insecure. And when I'm not feeling insecure, then I don't offer a vibration that hinders another's feeling of freedom. You sort of get a sense of how it all wraps around. Sexuality is an interesting thing because in different aspects of your culture, even today, there's such variety, you just wouldn't believe the variety that is condoned and condemned. And if you could look across your planet over longer times, you would be still further amazed. And so you say, but this is the way we are now, and this is what we have promised to. And we're not saying that that is inappropriate, and we're not saying that you do not have the ability to live within the promises that you offer to one another. But we are saying that it is ever so much more life-giving to say, we learn as we go, and we make our decisions along the way. And the most important acknowledgement is you can't go back and undo what has happened before. That's like saying, well, I've decided that I'm going to be very tidy. I'm going to be on top of my life and I'm going to make my bed every single day. And then you say, oh, but all those beds that I didn't make before, don't I have to go back and make all those beds before I can really get this right? And we say, no, all you have to do is start right here where you are. And so that's the way we would begin. We were standing in your physical shoes. We would not say, husband of mine, promise me that this is never going to happen again. We would say, husband of mine, I adore you for oh so many reasons. Husband of mine, there is so much about our relationship that is magical and meaningful.
And there is.
Yes, there is. Good enough?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Intellectual level and a long-standing desire of mine has been to be free of the opinion of others, kind of live more based on my own, how I feel. But yet, if I really look at my life, most of the times when I feel good about myself or feel good generally, it's based on the approval of others. It's whether or not I've succeeded in this test or I've gotten the good feedback from people that tell me I've done a good job on something.
Good. Now, before you go further, you've given us something very powerfully to give to you. You said, I'm getting good feedback. And what we want you to begin reaching for is the feedback of your inner being. You're wanting the feedback of source rather than the feedback of someone who is physically focused. Now, sometimes the feedback of someone who is physically focused is the feedback of source. In other words, when you have pleased someone and they are holding you as their object of attention in their glorious feeling of appreciation, they're connected to source energy and they're flooding it all over you. And so you say, ooh, this feels really good. I like this feeling. But what you're wanting to do is recognize that you can connect to that source without using them as the avenue through which it comes. And that is the answer to your question.
What's the process of getting more in tune to that?
When a physical friend gives you feedback, that feedback of approval, how does it come from a friend?
Usually it's after I've done some physical action, they've witnessed it, and they've been like, well, that was really good.
So they give it to you in words?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How might feedback come from source, from inner being, from God, from whatever you want to call the non-physical resources? How's that feedback going to come?
I would assume in form of a feeling.
If you are sitting before Esther, as she is allowing her connection to all of that, it can come in words.
Right.
Well done. Mm-hmm. You see. But if you do not have a translator, then you've got to be it. Sometimes you'll hear your name. Sometimes a bird will land and gaze at you just at the right moment. Sometimes someone that you don't even know will lock eyes with you. In other words, the feedback is coming, but it's coming in different ways than you are accustomed to hearing. And you have to acclimate yourself to that feedback. And that's what your emotions are about. Eagerness is that feedback. Eagerness is your inner being say, yeah, 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 let's go, more, more, more. Passion, eagerness, appreciation, that's that same feedback, the way you feel, you see.
So I guess one of the things I get hung up on is I do appreciate when people give me positive feedback, but then when I get negative feedback, it can also bring me into a real negative state. So how do you kind of let the positive feedback come in, but kind of ignore the negative feedback?
Well, you see, that's the problem with depending upon somebody else's feedback, is that when they approve of you, you feel very good, but when they disapprove of you, you feel very bad. And when it's in your face, it's hard to ignore. And that's why we think you have wisely come to the determination that you did when you first sat down here. I want it not to matter what other people are thinking. And we say, but what about when they're loving you? And you say, well, I want that part to matter. I just don't want the other part to matter. And we say, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, it matters to me what you think when you adore me, but it doesn't matter what you think about me when you abhor something that I've done. You have to reach for your inner resources. It has to matter to you more how you feel than it does what anybody else thinks.
So how do I differentiate between the voices inside me that are the negative ones that are criticizing myself and then the positive ones that are encouraging myself?
If you are reaching for the inner resources, they are never criticizing you. So if you've connected with source, you're always getting applause. You're always getting approval. You're always getting appreciation. And if it's anything else you're getting, it's your mother.
Okay. All right, let me go to question two. It seems like when I really, really want something to happen and I really want that desire, I guess to put it into context, looking for jobs. I mean, I'm an MBA student now. I'm going to graduate in May. Looking for jobs, really get excited about companies coming to interview on campus, get excited about the whole thing. When I really, really want it, it doesn't seem to work out. But when I kind of release it and say, okay, have a more of an aloof attitude towards it, it seems to come more easily. And that's just kind of generally been the case.
That's so wonderful. What you've just said is step one is step one, and step three is step three. In other words, think about it. When you really want it, you're stirring up that contrast. You're seeing what's gone wrong. In other words, the more contrast there is, the stronger the rocket of desire. But when you're still asking, you're still messing with that contrast. And so when you let go of that, and so that's where saying, I've already asked, and the universe is working it out. Now it's my job to just get in the place of letting it in. And the thing that trips most of you up is that you believe that you have to work really, 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 really hard, and that the break will come only in the struggle. And we say, if the break comes, it will be in spite of the struggle. And if it comes in spite of the struggle, it won't be that great of a break. When you're only allowing your well-being to eke in through your struggle, it doesn't come forth very powerfully. You really have to get into this place of trust. You have to get into this place where once and for all, you accept that you deserve well-being. And your two questions are tying together so powerfully, because it is releasing the opinion of others that must come before you'll really accept that you are worthy of the universe yielding to you what you're asking for. We would love to zap you with the knowledge that you deserve everything that you're asking for, and that the only thing that stands between you and everything that you're asking for is you're not believing that you deserve it. If you think that you must work very hard in order to earn some money, then you can work very hard and you can earn some money. But you reach this limit where you can't offer any more action. There aren't enough hours in the day. Most people allow their well-being right up to the extent of their credit limit. That's how much well-being most of you allow, you see. Because you can conceive of that. In other words, you know that you can work this many hours and that you can earn this much money and that you've got this much credit beyond what you're able to earn to a certain extent. And so there's that much good that you believe you can let in. What we want to zap you with is that there are no limits. The limit of how much good you will let in is only the limit of that which you are wanting and the limit of that which you are allowing. And so this workshop is about trying to find some way of convincing you that you've asked and the universe is yielding, and now your work is just to chill out and relax and allow.
To learn more about Abraham, visit hayhouse.com to find the books, The Law of Attraction, and Ask and It Is Given by Jerry and Esther Hicks. You may also visit their website at abraham-hicks.com. Join us again next time for another hour of Ask and It Is Given.